Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. Thank you, Tasha, for leading us in worship. Thank you, Pastor Cindy, for leading us in communion. And we find ourselves in a very unique place, but I've heard that expression, when life hands you lemonades. No, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade. Now, if you're really skilled, if life hands you lemonade, you can reconstitute a lemon. But that's in a whole other area of skill, and I don't possess that. And so we have found ourselves as a people living in a tension between the kingdom of heaven and its principles and the call of God upon us to deal with life upon the earth. And so at this point in time, we're still under governmental order that is affecting us, for us to have groups no more than 10. And so we have stayed to that. We're trying to do everything we can to live selflessly and make sure that we flatten the curve and make our way through this. And we're adhering to the mayor's call and the county judge's call and the governor's call. We do not know how long this will last. We have made plans to be able to up our game in a video way for next Sunday with our worship team and everything else. That's going to be Palm Sunday. And then the Sunday after that is Easter Sunday. You've probably been hearing from the president that he's wanting to see Easter, and I think that's apt, a Resurrection Sunday to signal a movement back to full operations in our country. But until then, we're walking that tightrope. Now, one of the things that it has brought out in us is we're upping our game as far as video. There have been those that have desired us to have actually some sort of broadcast of our service. We've been working towards that. This has given us an extra little, it's shortened down the time scale and has put us more directly in the game. And so you're seeing this live this morning on Facebook, and then it's being recorded. And I'm pleased to see that this is being shared. And actually, there was one service or one of our services that had in excess of 300 views, where it was shared 443 times. And so that's one way to get the word out. And as we come back together, having worship together in this building, I'm looking for two things to happen. Number one, for more people to come and for us to bring family and friends and others who have gone through a shaking during this time to really get moored back to their foundation in the Lord. And what is so important is not forsaking that assembling of ourselves together. And then the other thing is that we will also be simulcasting our services over Facebook Live or another streaming service, and maybe even into YouTube video, so that we have that archive. And if somebody's on vacation or if somebody missed the service, they have an opportunity to go back and be a part of it. And so we are... there are new technologies that are developing. I'm wishing that I owned stock in Zoom technologies, or maybe own some stock in Facebook or something like that, because people are buying tripods, people are using iPads and other ways to communicate, and this has helped us as a church to kind of jump in on that and improve and step up our game. So thank you for your patience, and we'll work together on this. We will notify you through Facebook and through text messaging to let you know as things change and develop how that's going to look. I alerted everybody this morning that we were going to be on Facebook. So that's a standing order, so to speak, that if we are not having church, we will have church on Facebook. So thank you for joining us this morning. And I want to jump off or leap off of a foundation here that is something that is being talked about a lot, and that is this idea of sheltering in place. The order that we heard recently was for us to shelter in place except for essential jobs. And I was gratified to know that going and making a video or coming together and producing something online for the people of God and the church is considered essential functions. And so what we're doing this morning is an essential function, and it's even recognized by the government. Now, for those of you that are saying, well, you know, they're asking churches not to meet, but they're also no theaters, No entertainment, no public venues, no bars, none of this going on. So I've said this before, if the enemy was aiming at the church, he kind of missed and really hit the bars and entertainment. And so we really need to rethink that. And this is a short-term thing, I'm sure. And I think that we can deal with this and we can come out of it better than ever. I'm believing God for that. So I want to take this idea of sheltering, shelter in place. And I just made a little play on words. It may be too subtle or just silly. I don't know. But sheltering place. Sheltering place. The sheltering place. During this time of sheltering in place, people are discovering all kinds of things about themselves and others while they are sheltering in place. Just this week, we had a wonderful family time of sitting down with canvas and paintbrushes and acrylic paints and putting on Bob Ross and other acrylic artists on YouTube, on the TV, and sitting there and painting stuff and trying to make some rendition of something. And we laughed, we enjoyed each other, and then we had an opportunity to share what we had created. And I thought, this is great. And in fact, my daughter and her boyfriend are the ones who came up with it and went and bought the paint. And so it was just a great time of sharing. I think Tasha took the prize. She made a beautiful flower. We're going to frame that, hang that up in the house. I think it's maybe, well, there's a beautiful cactus painting by my daughter. And then Wilson and I, we kind of did our thing, and they're not really finished. They're one of those, they're probably going to sell for $40,000 or $50,000 in an art gallery somewhere someday. But it's going to have to be posthumous that it's discovered. So people are discovering things about their family. They're spending more time together as families. And they're discovering things about life. I hope that we're discovering things like, what can we really do without? What have we thought was important that really wasn't? Nevertheless, people are discovering all kinds of things about themselves and others while they're sheltering in place. There's somebody in Scripture, Moses, discovered incredibly valuable things as he spent years sheltering in place. I want to tag into this idea of a shelter as we look at Psalm 91. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 16, and then I want to go through that and draw some things out of that for us today. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, another version says in the secret place of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. As an introduction to this message this morning, I want us to take a journey for just a second on the idea of the tale of two tents. The tale of two tents, easy for you to say. Some of you remember from your literature the tale of two cities. This is the tale of the two tents. The tent of the testimony we discover in Numbers chapter 2, verse number 2, which is the name of the tabernacle of God that traveled in the wilderness after it was built by Bezalel, Eliab, and a whole host of craftsmen, as recorded and described in the book of Exodus and then in the book of Leviticus. In the book of Numbers, we see them camped around it, and we see that the new way of life is centered around this tabernacle. It's called the tent of the testimony. We also discover in Exodus chapter 33 an often overlooked idea found in verses 7 through 11 of something that's called the tent outside the camp or the tent of the meeting. Sometimes in our mind we put those two together, but it says that Moses used to pitch a tent outside of the camp, and then he would go outside there to inquire of the Lord. And then it says, so that anyone might inquire of the Lord there. I love that invitation for anyone to inquire. These tents of testimony, both of them can be referred to and understood to be the secret place, the place where Moses went, and the place where the Shekinah glory of God. So get that image in your mind of a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, and it being positioned over the center part of the camp. But something very interesting happened when Moses left the camp of the Kohathites right near the tabernacle, and he would walk outside of the camp. It says that the glory of the Lord would go and rest upon that tent, and he would go in and talk with God as a friend face to face, and there were times that he would come back out, and then he would have to cover his face because of the glory of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I would love to end my prayer meetings by walking out and people having to say, please, Pastor, could you cover your face? Not because we don't like how you look, but because your countenance is so bright and the glory of the Lord is on you so bright, it makes us nervous, it's kind of disturbing, it's kind of bothersome. And that's exactly what Moses had lived out. So when we're reading this psalm, it's helpful if we understand that the one who wrote this, because sometimes we think, well, if it's in the Psalms, David wrote that. No, David did not write all the Psalms. Sons of Asaph did, various prophets did, David did, Solomon possibly, but there are some Psalms actually written by Moses, the man of God. So here is a man who has known what it's like for years to find the secret place, to come in to the place of God, to come in under the presence of God. Unless we think that's just for the Aaronic priesthood and for Moses, Moses pitches a tent outside the camp and basically says, if you need to inquire of the Lord, here's your secret place. One at a time, make it your secret place and meet God there. So there comes a pressing question. How do I get into the sheltering place, the secret place, that hidden place with God? How do I do that? Is that just for Moses? Is that just for the priests of Aaron and his descendants? Is that just for pastors? Well, no. It is absolutely for everybody. The gospel promises the idea of whosoever will may come. So the pressing question is, how do I get into the sheltering place? Maybe you just want to think about that yourself for just a moment. How do I get into that sheltering place? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have a couple points I want to share with you of how to get into that secret place, how to stay into that secret place, and how that secret place then can actually pay dividends in your life and your everyday life, everywhere you go, with everyone that you meet. First of all, comply with the divine order of things. We've been given a governmental order, and an order from the governor, a county judge, and from a mayor. That order has said shelter in place, except for essential functions. The idea is just stay home. Just stay home. So what do we need to do? We need to comply with that order. In much the same way, there are things that God strenuously charges us with for our good, for our benefit, and what we need to do is simply comply. Now, I don't know about you, but the idea of complying can run against my grain because I want to be free. I want to do my own thing. But the Lord has words of wisdom and words of knowledge and words, yes, that are regulations and laws in which he says, you need to comply with this. You need to come into agreement with this. You need to align with this, and you need to come into the order of this. Now, what we see first in this passage I want to draw your attention to for just a moment is that he says this. Now we're going to go back over that passage and pull some things out and really consider them. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, in the secret place, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Notice that it says, whoever dwells. Dwelling is the idea of resting. Dwelling is the idea of not hitting and skipping. It's not just popping in. Have you ever had people in your office just pop in? Or have a neighbor just pop in? Now, some people claim they're popping in, but they're almost dwelling by the time they leave. And so some of us have a different sense of how long that dwelling actually is. But Jesus says in the New Testament, and this is found in the book of Revelation, when he's speaking to one of his churches, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man will open the door and invite me in, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And this is the idea of spending extended time with. There was a woman in the book of Kings who enjoyed having the prophet of God come by so much that she built him a special room so that anytime he came by, he could stay with them as a family. That's how much she honored the word of God and the man of God. She made a place of resting and dwelling. So dwelling is not hitting and skipping and popping in. Dwelling is dwelling to stay, to not merely visit, but to rest there. To find a place of abode, to find a place of hospitality and welcome. Dwelling means resting, and he says that this dwelling is in the tent, which is in the shadow. So people who hit the tent once a year, that's not dwelling. People who hit the tent once every 10 years, that's definitely not dwelling. And somebody who hits it every couple months, that's not dwelling. It's actually coming in and finding ourselves in the shadow. Now, literally what happened when Moses went into the center tent is that the Shekinah glory of God, which was a cloud by day, what did it do? It cast a shadow over the tabernacle. How did he know he was going into the tabernacle? One of the obvious ways was he started walking into the shadow. Now, if you're in a bright noonday sunlight and you walk into a shadow, you immediately feel some relief. And so he would go into the shadow of the Shekinah glory cloud of God, underneath it, into the tabernacle. And I'll tell you what he wanted to do. He wanted to stay there. He wanted to hang out in the shadow. So now what this does is it puts you in position. Your position of being in the dwelling place now opens up the possibility for conversation. How many of you have ever had a deep conversation in 5 seconds? Doesn't happen. How many of you had a deep conversation in 1 minute? 1 minute, go. Let's have a deep conversation. Where do I start? But have you ever sat at a couch, at a picnic table, at a restaurant, at a coffee shop, and found yourself in deep conversation with someone, and it lasted for 3 hours, 4 hours? Now, the people at the coffee shop think you have stopped visiting and now you're dwelling. They're beginning to wonder if your mail is going to start being addressed to their place of business. So you find yourself in this position now. Now you're in a place of conversation. So Moses would go and make time to position himself under the shadow of the Almighty in the tent, which opened up then the possibility of conversation. No wonder in Exodus chapter 33 that says that God would meet him at the opening of the tent and they would talk as a man talks with a friend face to face. Can you imagine being in deep conversation with God? I suspect that is not going to happen by popping in or frequenting it every once in a while. It's going to have to be so habitual that you're a constant face there. Now, I remember as a kid, one of those lessons my mom told me is that sometimes people invite you, but they really don't mean it. Did you ever learn that lesson? And so, look, if my friend Brad Bird, who lived 2 miles away, he had great games, he had BB guns, he had baseball equipment, he had all kinds of neat stuff. And so, if 1 day a week at Brad Bird's was fun, 5 days a week was better. And they had TV tray dinners, and they watched sports on TV. And his mom and dad seemed to like me. And his brother would treat me much like he did his own brother, roughing me up a little bit. I felt like I was part of the gang. And so there were times I'd say, I'm going to go over to Brad's. And my mom would have to say, not today. You've already been there once this week. But when I left, they said, come on back anytime you want to, Doug. We'd love to have you. And so I was ready to grab a bedroll, strap it on the back of my bike, and hang out at Brad's. In fact, after a while, it might have been like, is that your son? No, that's a kid that showed up a couple weeks ago and he still hasn't left. And so we have this kind of a fear in us that we're going to overstay our welcome. Can I just allay that fear from you right now? God will never say, my goodness, you have been coming into my presence and hanging out for so long. Don't you have something better to do? Don't you have someone else to bug? Or kind of like W.C. Fields, some people have an image of God as that old comedian W.C. Fields. Go away from me, kid. You're bothering me. No. He longs for and desires us to come into his presence. And when we come in, it positions us for conversation with God. And that's two-way. Sharing our heart, sharing, and then hearing from God his heart for us. Here's the key. It's really important. In fact, I spent most of my time on all these points. So for some of you are getting anxious and saying, my goodness, it took this long in the first point. He said he has five. How long is that going to take? This is the foundation, and I really needed to drill down here and set this foundation. So now we all have it, right? It's about positioning ourselves with time in God's presence so that we can open up conversation. This is the idea of dwelling. Realize this is a condition. This is the whole principle and foundation upon which this whole 91st Psalm swings. Now, the second point. Trust in God's response. Not only listen to his directives, but trust in God's response. Have you ever prayed something according to the Word of God, knowing what the will of God is, and then felt like God was taking his sweet time about it, it wasn't happening like you wanted, or this isn't coming about the way I expected it to? And at that point in time, we want to become God's mentor and coach and help him along. This is a better way to do it, Lord. I really expected this. Why didn't it happen that way? And this is a real key when you're having to shelter in place, when you're sheltering in the holy place, in the sacred place with God. You have to trust that God is working and he has a response for you. Now listen to what the psalmist said. Moses, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. This is the commitment of God. I like the way it starts. Surely. Now, I always hear, whenever I hear that word surely, my mind immediately goes to one of the Leslie, I'm going to say Leslie Nielsen, was a comedian, and he would, whenever somebody would say, surely you don't mean me, he says, no, and please don't call me Shirley. I grew up around those silly movies. And so here it says, surely, with assurance, with insurance, totally backed, a guarantee. You can count on it. Now, why does he need to say this? Because there's going to be some differential between what you're expecting and what happens. There's going to be a differential of how you think it's going to play out and how it's actually going to play out. And that is going to test your confidence. That's going to test your trust. That's going to test your faith. So what you need to do is trust in God's response. Here's what he's committed himself to do. He will save you. So he is our Savior. God is our Savior. Jesus' name was given to him because it means this: he shall save his people from their sins. God shall save. This is where we get the word Yeshua, the word for Jesus. It means he shall save. So we have to trust that God has this, and he's going to save you from the fowler's snare. Now, what's a snare? A snare is a trap that has been laid for you that when you step into it, you're jerked up upside down, your feet are clamped together, you're tied up with ropes. Something has happened, and now you have been snared. Have you ever done anything, and then the next words after you did it, you went, uh-oh? You know, when somebody's driving and they say, uh-oh, it gets your attention. And I'll tell you what really gets your attention. If you're flying with somebody in a small light plane and they use the words, uh-oh, you do not want to ever hear the words, uh-oh. You don't want to be on a commercial flight and hear the captain key the mic and say, uh-oh. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell, we do not want to hear, uh-oh. Let me just guarantee you something. You will not hear God say, uh-oh. You may hear yourself say it. You'll not hear him say it. You're going to step into some snares and traps. He says, I'll save you from them. And very often, our foolishness and sin gets us into traps. But while we're hanging upside down from that rope, we can call out to the Lord. And what will he do? He will save us. Here's another one. From the deadly pestilence. Does that sound familiar? In case you haven't realized this, this COVID-19 stuff, this is basically would fall into the category of pestilence. It's a disease that spreads, and it's mysterious. And so what does he say? He will save you. I will save you from the deadly pestilence. Isn't that appropriate? I want to shelter in that place. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. So you can go under him, he will come to you, cover you, and now you will find yourself in a refuge. Which means, if you're a refugee in that sense, others can't come and get you, no other government has authority over you, you are under his protection. I love that one. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. That means he will defend you and work on your behalf to launch an attack. I love it. He will counterattack on your behalf as well as shield you from anything the enemy has coming your way. Can you already feel some confidence maybe growing back inside of you to consider that? Now, the third point here is that part of entering into the secret place is that we need to confront fear. To confront fear. Now, when I was a kid, like just like every other kid, I was afraid of the dark. There were two things that wanted, these were such powerful fears that they would creep into my dreaming. And one of them was, I was afraid of being down in the basement with the lights out. And the other one was, I had to turn off the light switch at my door and then go across this vast expanse of 15 feet to get to my bed. And Lord knew what could happen to me in the darkness between that door and the bed. And I became really good. I practiced in the day to do this. I would practice in the day. And then at night, I would stand there and I would stretch out my hand as far as I could. I would flip off the light switch, take two steps and leap. The ultimate leap of faith and land in the bed. I wasn't jumping on the bed. I was getting in the bed. Because nothing was going to get me. I was trying to beat the last photon that was going to be de-energized in that atmosphere. And I was going to hit the covers. Yep, and that would get into my dreams. And then I would also go downstairs in the basement. We had a basement. We lived in Ohio. And down in the basement, we had three noisy things that would go off in the most inopportune times. We had a sump pump. We had a furnace. And we had a water conditioner. And they all had, three had motors on them, or the worst sound of all was the ignition of the furnace in the silence of the basement. Whoa! Like that. And it would just startle you every time, even if you knew it was going to do it. And so, there were times that somebody would turn off the lights inadvertently, not knowing I was down there, or maybe on purpose. It could have been my sibling. And I would be in the basement in the dark. And if that wasn't bad enough, I had to walk over to the stairs in the dark, and the furnace, the sump pump, or the water conditioner could come on. And the worst case scenario was one, then the other, then the other. And I was nothing but a walking heart attack by the time I got to the bottom of the stairs. And I would have dreams of that in my dreams. So what did I have to do? I had to confront that fear. I heard a sermon on that somewhere. It helped me. So what did I do? I turned off my light and walked as slow as I could across my bedroom and slowly got into my bed. And saying to myself, there is nothing in the darkness. There's nothing going to happen to me. I'm under the shadow of the Most High. I'm going to be fine. God is here with me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I mean, stuff like that will prompt you to memorize scripture. Or I would be in the basement and I would go down there and turn out all the lights and slowly walk from the depths of the basement past the sump pump, past the water conditioner, past the furnace, and wait for them to kick on and look at them and say, there's nothing here. There's nothing here to be afraid of. This is just a furnace. You're just a water conditioner. You're just a sump pump. And slowly, slowly, slowly force myself to walk slowly in the darkness through the basement and take the steps, not two at a time, one at a time, with a purposeful march, stopping on every step and say, I have nothing to be afraid of. God is with me, and if God is for me, who can be against me? And you know what? After I conquered that, I confronted and conquered that fear, I never again had a fearful dream about the dark in that basement or in my house. It absolutely broke that power. And so what did I have to do? I had to trust in the Lord. I had to trust in God's response, and then I had to confront fear, all kinds, all modes. Listen to what he says. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. In fact, and I'm adding that, 1,000 may fall at your side. How many know that was pretty scary if you saw 1,000 people fall at your side? And this is in the context of either a battle or a pestilence. You're standing there and 1,000 people over here fall down, and over here, 10,000 people fall down. I don't know about you, that'd be scary. That would be overwhelming. He says, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes. You'll only watch it and see it happen. It won't get on you. It won't get with you. It won't come into your dwelling. It will have no part of your life. Wow, what a picture of a rescue. Now that is a rescue, when you're the last one standing. And you know what? That gets people's attention. If you're the last one standing, they want to know, what did you do? How did this happen? Do you ever hear those stories of somebody who's been in an automobile accident that should have absolutely destroyed them? But they were a believer. They had trusted in the Lord. The Lord spoke to them. They cried out in the name of Jesus. Totally mangled vehicle. They get out, not a scratch. How does that happen? You know what people want to know? How did you get out of that? What happened? Here's what our answer needs to be. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know that God has made a promise that he's going to be with me in difficulties and tragedies and these things, and he's going to walk with me. In fact, David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what a great testimony to see the vision, the deliverance, the miraculous deliverance of God. So we do need to remember this. This is like the disclaimer at the end of the ad. But this is important because it's right in the middle. Fourthly, we need to remember that there are conditions. There are conditions. If you say, if, there's that word, if. How many of you love to hear that word, if? We're going to go to Walt Disney World. If what? Oh, we got to hear the rest of it. Well, you got to keep your room clean for 3 months straight. You got to get A's and B's on your report card. And you can't torment your sister. Well, I think maybe with that goal in mind, maybe I can do that. But the conditions have to be met. And with God, yes, there are conditions. If you say, now notice this, the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling. Now, so here's what you need to do. There does need to be some mouth action here. Now, some of us are all mouth, no action. But we need to do two things. But we do need to have a profession. We do need to have a confession. And we need to be willing to say, you know what? The Lord is my refuge. Let's just practice that together right now. The Lord is my refuge. Five words. I think any one of us can memorize that. And then listen to the next part. And you make the Most High your dwelling. Then no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. So words are not magic. Hello? Words are not magic. Some people want to say abracadabra, alakazam, or quote a scripture as if there is power simply in their stating of the words, but the scripture doesn't say that. The scripture always connects word and deed. Word and action, not just word, but word and action. Not just prayer, but prayer and then activity. So words are not magic, they must be connected with deeds. He says, if you make God your dwelling, here's the question, who can evict you? Who's the landlord? If God is your dwelling, who has power and authority to remove you from that place? No, you're in God's house. You're in God's place. And if you're in God's territory, in God's place, and you're dwelling there, who has the authority? There's only one who has the authority to evict you, and his name is God. His name is Father. His name is Abba. His name is Yahweh. And what has he made a commitment? He says, if you want to come stay at my house, you never have to leave. I mean, it's better than going to Brad Bird's house where they had TV dinners. I get to come and go with me to my Father's house. And when I go to my Father's house, my Father never says, you know what, son, you're bugging me. Could you please step away for a couple weeks? I am always, and you are always, everyone is welcome at the Father's house. And if we make him our dwelling, who can evict us? Who can kick you out? God's not going to do it, and the enemy can't go in there. He can't get on that territory and knock you out. Now, you can get up and leave, but please don't. God doesn't want you to leave. God wants you in his presence. And then fifthly, focus upon the supernatural. We are looking at even this COVID-19 thing as simply a natural thing, and it has some natural aspects to it. But we have to guard ourselves because there are also supernatural things going on. So here's three things that you can consider. First of all, consider the good creation of the heavens. There are two-thirds more good angels than the one-third fallen angels. So the odds are 2-1. So more are for you than against you. You need to consider that and hear what Moses said. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hand so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So God has angels involved in your life. And it's time that we materialistic Western American Christians don't simply look at things naturally, but also consider the supernatural. Also do this. Consider the fallen creation of the heavens. Angels and demons. You need to use wisdom and realize that there is somebody who's after you and wants to destroy you. Jesus himself and Peter, I think, said he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we're up against beings and entities that work for our tearing down and destruction. So what do we need to do? Be sober, be vigilant, and be aware there is a supernatural enemy that wants to take you out. But what does God's promise say? Don't be afraid of that. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. And then God chimes in the conversation. And he says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. We need to consider the fact that God is on our side. That none other than the Creator, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Creator of everything, the one who made the heavens and the earth, is the one we can call Abba if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do more than pop in occasionally and we spend time in His presence, becoming accustomed and subject to His kingdom. And if we will, then we hear that divine conversation when we understand God and His faithfulness. We focus upon the supernatural, God and His faithfulness, and we hear God's side of the conversation. Listen to what God is saying. He will call on me. If we could see that next slide. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So, I have a question for us today. All of us need to ask this question down in the depths of our spirit. Very simple question. As we're talking about sheltering in place or shelter in place. Have you been occasionally visiting the secret place? Or have you moved in? Are you just popping in? That's very often what's happening when people are simply popping in church every once in a while. Or when they haven't, and here's that expression, he hasn't darkened the door of a church for 10 years. There may be even somebody watching this broadcast right now that's saying, I remember when I used to go to church all the time and I loved it, and it's been 10 years or 15 or 20 years, been a couple weeks, been a couple months. Some of us are just grinding because it's been 2 whole weeks since we've been with our brothers and sisters in a common gathering of worship together, and we just are dying to get back together again. And there's others that are dying because they haven't been in the body of Christ at all. You know, there's a great answer for you. Anyone can come into the secret place. They have to simply come through the door of Jesus, the Christ of God, and come with repentance and an open heart, and come ready to stay, not simply popping in occasionally when things are going against you, not when things are just getting tough with the foxhole style of religion, but actually saying, you know what? I'm going to go into the secret place with God, and I'm going to take my bedroll, and I'm going to take my book and my tablet, and I'm going to purpose to actually take quality time and make it look like I'm planning on being a squatter in the secret place of the Most High. I'm just going to settle here, and I'll tell you what, I'll get out when God says, go away from me, you're bothering me. Never going to happen. Because He wants you to be with Him. There's plenty of place in the secret place. There's plenty of room under the glory of God. And there's a great invitation so that you can come today. If you've never, ever thought for a moment you could be in the secret place, you can. And the way is through Jesus, the Christ of God. You can accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And that opens the door for you into the secret place of God. But you may also be a believer. Yes, you've been walking with the Lord, but there's something that has grown cold in you because you haven't been staying in the secret place. And that needs to be a place that you frequent. That there's signs that you've been there. Your bedroll's there. Your pillow's there. Some books are there. Your special lamp and a picture. There's something that says, hey, He's been here and He wants to stay. He's made Himself at home here. So let's just have a word of prayer as we close this. And just pray very simply with me. Lord Jesus, and I'm praying for those that do not know You, that in this moment, somebody can say, Father, God, I've heard about You, and I want to accept Christ. I want to accept His death in my place, and I want to come into the Father's house and never leave. I don't want to just pop in. I want to dwell there, and I accept that offer in Jesus' name. And for the believer, I pray right now, and maybe you want to pray with me. Lord, I don't want to just pop in and occasionally visit or come under duress or difficulty when things get tough. Lord, I want to have evidence and sign that I'm constantly showing up at the meeting tent, at the place of the meeting, that I'm coming and sheltering in place under You always, that I live a lifestyle of trusting in the Lord and dwelling in His secret place. Lord, we thank You that You are our hiding place. You are the place that we can trust, and we can trust You. And during this time of sheltering in place, may we come and find a shelter at Your place. We pray that, and we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're asking that the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you this week. We'll be in touch. We can be in touch through Facebook, text, or any other way. If you have my phone number, even call me. The Lord bless you. We love you, and we'll see you soon.